You can't arrange that. Only the Holy Ghost can. God put it in the pastor's heart. Of course, I didn't know anything about this. But how that the Lord Jesus is in attendance. Ladies, you'll never know how blessed and sacred that is to me, what's took place tonight. The morning we got married, Jennifer and I, 5 o'clock in the morning, both of us. She, where she lived, I, where I lived. Neither one of us knew it to that evening. But she rolled out of bed at 5 and got on her knees. I rolled out of bed at 5 exactly and got on my knees. And I didn't know she was praying. She didn't know I was praying. We both asked for the same thing. We invited the Lord to attend our wedding. That's true. That ain't nothing made up. That ain't made up right there. I asked the Lord to come to our wedding. And He did. You know, we shouted for an hour at our wedding. Read Isaiah 54, sang the old hymn, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. A white-haired evangelist sang the story of Ruth and Boaz. He redeemed me. I was gleaning in the field. I don't remember the word, but that ain't never stopped me from singing it. I was gleaning in the field, just a stranger in the land, knowing not that the handfuls were from the master's hand. The old chorus said, He redeemed me. He redeemed me. And now by His side I stand. Ah, la, 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 la. But the, I found favor in the eyes of my Savior. And now I belong to Him. They sang that day. I bless the Lord for it. You know, if you stay in this thing long enough, you'll start with some, and then you'll end up alone. And then you'll run alone. But you won't be really alone. But then after a while, He'll put you back with some folk. That won't take you down this time, they'll take you up. And through your journey, God will do that thing for you. He'll let you run alone to let you know He's enough. And then He'll find somebody else who's been running alone. And He'll put you with them. And you can tell each other, I don't need you, but I appreciate you. Isn't that wonderful? Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Well, we could go several different directions right now. But I feel heavily, strangely, I never would have guessed, the Lord had me preach what He's put in my heart. And to me, this would carry out different ways tonight. Oh, yeah. Ain't nothing else works. I didn't even think of nothing else. The Lord wants me to preach this message. And that's strange. I wouldn't have guessed that. I'd have had Brother Waters come back up. I'd have had some things. These sacred ceremonies, sacred services, they're eternal. Brother Seth, we got to fellowship today. And I was glad the Lord put it in my heart let him ride with me this morning, and I get to ride with him and spend the day together. And if we can't pour what we got into somebody coming behind us, you know, you're in it for the wrong reasons. But Seth said God dealt with him. He worried too much about being effective. And I said, I'll give you another E word. Of course, what he meant was successful. Worrying about being successful, being effective. I said, here's you in it. How about being eternal? It don't matter if man ever looks at it and thinks it made a difference. You ain't got to be effective, man. It's got to be eternal. This is eternal tonight. It's eternal. Holy. Glory. Last night I went over some things. Book of Genesis, there's seven stages. Seven characters that represent seven stages of the believer's journey. Don't you love your Bible? Amen. And from Adam to Joseph, Adam's the sinner that gets saved. Cain, then the next part, here comes Abel. And there's the great struggle, Cain and Abel, the struggle of two natures. And then here comes Noah, the spirit-filled man. God cleans his world up, buries him in the middle of the cleaning process, and lets him come out and serve the Lord in a new world. Spirit-filled man. And then you go right to the seeking man, faith. And Abraham, he raises up and leaves Ur, he leaves the world, and he goes looking for some things. He don't know where they are, and he don't know what they are, but he knows who told him to go after. And so you go from salvation to the struggle through the Spirit, and then into the seeking part. And then Isaac is that son. Sonship, submissive. If you're writing the S down there, he's submission. He lays on an altar, and then he lives in the land. Never fought any battles. He just bowed. Everything that ever come his way, he bowed. And God let him stay in the land. Almost ran right there. And so, and then you go to the next, and there's Jacob. And he goes to a far country to serve. For brides and for flocks. And that service. And then you end up with Joseph suffering. Great suffering. But that's not the end of his story. And suffering won't be the end of our story. Ultimately, he was resurrected up out of that dungeon and sat on the throne and exalted and crowned with glory and honor. Amen. And that's the seven stages of the believer's journey. Now, you remember last night I said I got three comments I want to make. And I only made two of them.
That's right.
And I know y'all love, you love the Lord and you love to study and pray and meditate. And I know some of y'all caught that. Because the Holy Ghost only let me get two in. And we talked about how you revisit those stages. I wished it was cut and dried and then we went to heaven. We could know what was coming next. And that's our great battle, is faith. It ain't really these things are so hard. It's just we're worried about what's next. Fear, spirit of fear is all this. And then we seen last night, and Brother Joby, I'm so glad you're able to be here tonight. I love you, and God bless you. We saw that God loves you unconditionally at every stage. And he don't decide he likes you after you clear several hurdles. Oh, he carries you out of the womb. He carries you out of the womb and loves you unconditionally. No matter how long it takes you to get through a stage, no matter if you revert back to an earlier stage, you're his child the whole way. And he loves you unconditionally. And he carries you through the stages, brings you through the stages. Love and unconditionally. These old, we've had enough of these old independent fundamental boys that are browbeating and whipping everybody. And they're all liars. They're like Pharisees of old. Yeah, they can't, they're putting a yoke on you that they can't bear themselves. They ain't even doing what they're telling you to do. Stinking outfit. I grew up with them. Don't be trying that junk on me. I'll find something harder than your head and hit you with it. In your temple region. So last night the Lord cut me off, and I didn't know why, but he wanted me to pick it up tonight and make a whole message. out of that one little third thing. And here's what I want to say. In all seven stages, they produced a bad seed and a good seed. Every one of them had an evil son. At every stage, they produced good and bad. And all I want to say to you, and get ready to pop a happy bubble. All I want to say to you is you're going to have the old man with you all the way to glory. Don't care who you are and how far along you are. The first, there's Adam. And even in Adam's story, you have the Adam that God created pure and whole, and then you have the fallen Adam. There's two of them in his own story. It's the same feller. And then you get, and he produced a Cain and an Abel. Are y'all with me? Then you move on to Noah, and there you had Shem and Japheth, but there's Ham. And you know what evil immorality he perpetrated upon the family. There's, and see, in Noah. You telling me the spirit-filled man in the new world can still have give birth to a bad nature and bring a bad nature with him out of that ark? Y'all ain't helping me. And then you move on, and I'm just laying a little groundwork, and you move on there. Now we're going to Abraham, and I wish he only had Isaac, but he had Ishmael and Isaac. Is anybody with me? Is anybody with me? And then there's Isaac. And he had Jacob and Esau. Esau, a profane person. Are y'all seeing this? At every stage, there's still a bad seed. And even Joseph, that beloved and that favored. Rachel, his sweetheart, and Joseph, the firstborn of that sweetheart, even though had an Ephraim and a Manasseh. And you don't remember Manasseh? He didn't want to live on the right side of Jordan. So that great suffering saint even has a nature come out of him that doesn't want to live in the will of God. Y'all ain't helping me. All right, so there we are. And this needs you to know that Paul was writing Philippians 3 at the end of his journey. And he said, I have not apprehended. Jesus is the only one ever walked on this planet that had nothing but a new and a holy and a godly nature. He was the perfect man. He was God and he was holy. He was 100% God as if he were nothing but God. And he was 100% man as if he were nothing but man. He's the only 200% being you know. And there was no fault in it. No spot. Sinless and blameless. And the little woman laying there taken in adultery. And he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. And even that religious crowd, the elders had to file out of there until she was left all alone. Honey, there's no accusers. Because they all knew there's something wrong with them. Well, they was one without sin. He didn't have any rocks in his hand. Woo! There was one that could have cast a stone. He was without sin, honey, but he didn't have any rocks in his hand. Glory to God. That's exactly right. You better believe he loves us. Some of these boys will get you to feeling bad about how bad you are, and they ain't told you how bad off they are. They all of them lying if they try to get you to believe anything else. Honey, you better learn to wallow in mercy and grace. That's all we got. You better fall over in that pool of blood, honey, and understand it is an eternal covenant locked you in that pool. Where sin abounded, that was all of us. Grace did much more abound. You just better understand that He is the one who arranged to save you and leave you here, knowing you're going to struggle with the old man through every stage. Does that help anybody? It helps me. And it's Bible. And so let's walk through them seven and just see. Now, what was the first character? Adam. And that's the picture of the sinner that God comes in the garden and kills a lamb and covers him and saves him. But he dealt with his own fallen nature. So what I'm going to talk to y'all about is how the old nature attacks us at these particular stages. Never had preached this. Came to me about 5:30. I didn't have time to do anything with it. That's why the Lord gave it to me late. He didn't need me to do anything with it. What would I do with it but mess it up? Y'all ain't helping me. That's why God gives you stuff you can't handle, can't control. You'd mess it up. Leave your stinking hands off of it. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Now, let's look at the first stage, salvation. How does the fallen nature fight us there? Adam. There's the fallen Adam. And look what that old nature does. Hides behind fig leaves. And then blames other people. All right, that was it. Y'all got to help me. You're waiting on something else. That was it. And so when the sinner, when God comes in the garden to save the sinner, that's what the old nature does. It hides behind fig leaves. Wrong tree. There's a tree you can hide behind, but it ain't what comes off a fig tree. It's Calvary's tree. And the old sinner that's running from God, that's what he does. He hides behind the nearest thing he can grab to cover his shame. And then he'll stand there and blame Eve and blame the devil and blame everybody. That's why a lot of sinners won't get saved. They're hiding. I sure am glad Luke said that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save. Every sinner's playing hide and seek with God. And I'm glad He's better at finding than I am at hiding. Amen. You ain't going to get saved till you quit blaming. King Saul's a picture of false repentance, whereas King David's a picture of true repentance. Saul had a prophet get in his face. Samuel got in his face. What meaneth then the bleeding of these sheep? And he spent half a page in your Bible blaming everybody but himself. God's judgment was severe. David had Nathan the prophet point that face. Thou art the man. And it was over. So David said, I am sinned. And let's just put a period on it. No blaming, no bargaining, no negotiating, no whining. I have sinned. That's how your fallen nature is going to fight you sinners. Quit hiding and quit blaming. Number two, the next stage is Cain and Abel, the struggle between two natures. So this is like a double whammy on this one. The sermon's about this point. And there's Abel, the next character. And you see his struggle. Adam gave birth to two boys, Cain and Abel. Now, so this is the struggle of two natures. Anybody here remember getting saved? And you remember when it dawned on you that you still had the propensity to sin? It was still in you to sin? Did it confuse you? Did it break your heart? Did you think maybe I didn't get saved? That Thursday night, and the Holy Ghost introduced me to the Lord Jesus and filled me with everything God had. Walked on air for 2 weeks, and I never will forget sinning. The old man rose back up. I went out in the woods, Rusty J. Took a pocket knife. It broke my heart so bad that I sinned. Brother Lane, I went out and carved my initials and the date in a tree and vowed to God I'd never sin again. I was so brokenhearted. I'm about to throw the pumpkin and catch it myself with what I'm fixing to tell you next. That little vow I put on that tree, God, he knew it was a lie. I knew I could keep, because God had done took his knife to another tree. You ain't helping me. God done took his knife. He took it to another tree, honey. And he vowed what he would do with my sin. Woo! I was over there cutting on a tree. I was just so young and stupid, I didn't know he'd already been cutting on his own tree. He carved a vow into the body of his son. Y'all didn't hear me. I said he carved his name. And he carved a bloody covenant in the Calvary tree. And what does the old nature do? What did Cain do in that struggle with two natures? Cain wanted to do things his own way. And he wanted to kill that Abel. And that's what your flesh should do, young Christian, in your struggle. The flesh will want to do things its own way. And God will say, I don't care what you can work up with your own hands and your own mind. It ain't going to help you. You got to come with blood. I almost ran just then. That went over y'all's head. You got to have faith in the blood sacrifice. When you're dealing with the struggle between two natures, honey, after you get saved, all you got to do is come back with faith in the blood sacrifice. You can cut the hair and cover the flesh and lay it on the altar. And on your way back with a good suit and a good haircut, your flesh is going to be wicked as the moment you hauled it down here. What you do is run to that tree where he carved some vows. Number three, what are you going to do at the stage where Noah's at? Noah's that spirit filled. He's a picture of a changed man, a converted man, a clean man. God's now giving him rule over the... I mean, there were devils running the planet. Noah's flood. There were giants. The wicked, the thought of every man's heart was only wicked continually. And God, I'm going to say this, y'all got to get it. God cleaned his world up. Buried him over in a wooden box in the process. You ever remember when God killed you? Died to self? Wrapped you up in a coffin somewhere? Clean your world, let you step out in a new day. Amen. But he had some boys. Now, I love this preacher. There's just two-thirds. There's two of them good, and one of them a spirit-filled man. He got more for him than he got against him. Right. Amen. But there, Ham. You've heard a lot about the curse there, and Ham, different thoughts on that. What did that bad seed try to do to the man in a new world, in a clean world? And there old Ham, he wanted to get drunk. There was drunkenness and defilement. Noah got drunk. Do you know it's possible for a spirit-filled man to still sin against God? His whole world was clean, but he got drunk. And it opened up, and it opened up occasion, something else controlling Noah, other than his own wisdom. Right. That's strong, it'll control you. And Ham came in that tent, and some type of immorality took place. And the old man wants to defile the spirit-filled man. And let me tell you something, friend. You can be full of the Holy Ghost and walking in this thing, and be as susceptible to being overtaken by strong drink or by some perverted ham. And brother, if many a spirit-filled man found out that you can still have sin come in your own life and in your own home. Are y'all with me? Oh my. All I can tell you is don't ever let her guard down. I don't know what to tell you. I tell you what, two men of God told me. The evangelist, I was a young boy and I said, how in the world? Another one of my heroes had fallen. A public scandal. It got to the point where I had more heroes that went down than I had still standing. And I went to an older evangelist and I said, I don't know a tenth of what they know. I ain't got a tenth of the power they have, the wisdom, and if they can't make it, how am I going to make it? And I ain't never wanted to quit on Jesus. But I'd wonder, should I just go ahead and quit now? Because if they couldn't do it, I can't do it. I had nothing against the Lord. I was just wondering what was going on. And I asked that old preacher. I said, how do I keep from falling? Never will forget, we was outside in that Florida sod, St. Augustine, that thick bladed grass runs. He said, lay down. I said, okay. On your face. Spread your arm. I said, all right. He said, put your nose in the ground. So I did. I laid out there on the ground, nose mashed in the sod and the dirt. And he leaned down over and whispered in the mirror, now try to fall. He said, go ahead, try to fall. And I mumbled through grass and dirt. Thank, I'm already down here. And he just walked away. Oh, my. Another great old man of God took me and I said, why? These preachers are falling. And I know I can't, I'm not half the man, the Christian they were. He took an ink pen and began to dot my arm. I just let him. I've always been submissive to my preachers my whole life. And he said, son, it's the little things. It's the little sins that you allow to live that turn into big ones before you know it. He put them little dots all over my arm. He said, it's the little sin that you won't confess and forsake. And it's like a frog being boiled in water. He won't even know what's happening. Let's go to the fourth one. So at salvation stage, the old man wants to run and hide. In that struggling stage of the saint, the old man wants to do it his own way, his own religion, but you got to trust that blood. In the spirit fields stage, that old man wants to defile that clean world. Now we come to Abraham, number four, where the saint is seeking. Faith is on a journey. He's looking for a country. He's looking for a city. He's a going to where God's leading him. He's seeking. And he gives birth to Ishmael and Isaac. So what does Ishmael do? Ishmael, the Bible said in Galatians, he mocked and persecuted. He mocked Isaac. He was older and stronger, and he felt superior, Ishmael did, and he felt like he had the right, and he mocked him while Abraham was on his journey. That was supposed to make sense to you. The old man will say, this is a new thing. I'm older than this. Mock you. Where are you going? Who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? All right, y'all obviously ain't ever faced this. You ever been on a journey with God? Faith, and you're going, and you don't know where, and you don't know how. You're just following God. And that old man will sit back and make fun of you. And he'll play superior. Does that make sense? I wish I was a better preacher. I could make it more clear. And that old man, he'll say, I'm in charge. You don't own, you know, Big Brother Ishmael told us, I'm firstborn. And your flesh say, I was born here before you got born again. I was the favorite of this house before you come along. Y'all ain't helping me. That old flesh will say, I was the favorite. I own this. I'm going to inherit all this. You don't belong here. But I'm going to make a little announcement, and then y'all better pop a happy bubble. I'm hitting somebody with a pumpkin. That second birth in the Bible always takes precedent over that first birth. Seems like that second Adam overcome that first Adam. Abel was the second born, honey. Jacob was the second born. Isaac was that second born. And honey, and the old devil will join in with your old nature and will mock you on your journey. And they say, your whole family's what are you doing living for God? What are you doing always at church? What are you doing turning down that promotion so you could stay in that church? I mean, he'll mock you the whole way. You can't preach. You can't even talk. Who do you think you are trying to go somewhere and find God and seek God and live for God? He'll mock you and persecute you. Honey, God deals with that old nature. He sent Cain out of the presence of the Lord. He put a curse on Ham's descendants. He sent Ishmael out, cast him out. God deals with that bad seed every time he comes around. Number five, is this helping anybody? Let's get over here with Isaac. Isaac, he's that picture of submission and sonship. He lays on an altar and obedient. He lives in the land, never leaves it. He rests in the land, never had any battles. Faith fought all the battles for him. Now what kind of, so when you get in the land and you're that submitted son, faith has brought you to a place of submission and being settled in the land and inheriting everything the son's supposed to. Well, what is Ishmael? He's resting in the land. Isaac is resting in the land. And so what does he face? Well, he gives birth to a Jacob and an Esau. Jacob says, bless me, but Esau says, feed me. Jacob wrestles with God. That spiritual side of you will let God wrestle down and say, bless me. But that profane side, that bad side of you, it don't say bless me, it says feed me. Now here's what Esau loved to go in the field. Field's always a type of the world. Jesus even said in the gospel, now the field is the world. Is anybody helping me? Bible said Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents, but Esau was a man of the field. I'm going to say this, y'all holler amen. Jacob would rather get under a tent and help his father's bride. Are you soaking in that? God's always liked to get in a tent in the tabernacle. He dwelt in tents. He was always in the tent with his father's bride. But Esau loved to go in the field and hunt for wild flesh. I'm trying to say something. Here's what the bad nature that come out of Isaac. The man who lived in the land had a nature come out of him that wanted to go in the field and feed on flesh. So I got to break it down. You may be submitted to the will of God and living in the place God wants you to, there will be an old man in you that wants to go out in the world and find the wildest stuff there is and feed on it. Go study this on your own. I don't care how far you get, and you may be in stage 5. And Isaac said to Esau, bring me that wild venison that I love. You tell me why Esau was Isaac's favorite. Me and you better be real careful, honey. You may be all the way to stage 5 and be, you've laid on an altar and you've lived in the land. And yet you love that son, that nature that can go bring you that wild stuff from the world. He's going to be with us all the way home, boys. We're going to fight him every step of the way. Number 6. Wonder what Jacob faced there in his service. Hey, all you men in here in the service of the Lord and God's people who are may not be called to live at the temple, but you've made your life centered around the temple. And these men, God's called them to come out. Like them 11 tribes had their own property and their own crops. But these men have been called not to have their own, but to come in here and serve, live off the tabernacle. And thank God for those of you who built your life around the temple worship. And you bring your goods and blessings in here. But what about that service stage? Jacob went out in the far country. He's a missionary. He's a minister. And he's gathering up brides and sheep to bring back to the Father at the end of the way. I still get excited about that stage. Going out into a far country.
Yeah.
To bring back the bride and bring back the flock. But I wonder what he faced after. Jacob, who God named Israel, he gave birth to all them, the 12 boys, the 12 tribes. And there 10 of them, the older ones, Leah's boy, and they hated Joseph. Joseph was the godly one, and all the rest of them conspired to kill Joseph. They hated his dreams. I'm about to say something. I'm going to throw up 2 pumpkins and catch both of them. Boop, boop. Right down there somewhere. That's how I'm about to run. When you're in that stage where you're out there serving for brides and sheep, the old nature want to kill your dreams. He want to kill your vision. Jacob gave birth to some boys that wanted to kill that special boy who had that special coat. And it was his dreams that he got from God that they hated. And everybody that's ever set out to serve God and then going on a journey to serve the church and sinners, that's the bride and the flocks. Win them sinners. Bring that bride. The enemy will try to kill your dreams. The boy's good at it. He'll throw you in a pit. The old nature will throw you in a pit. And the father won't be nowhere around. And you'll be in a pit with no father that favored you. And you'll say, I thought God gave me a dream. What am I doing in this pit? And you keep looking up out of that pit for your father to come find you, and he never does. You boys have got to learn to live without God sometimes. You think God's going to get me out of this pit because he promised me a dream. But it'll be a head looking. It'll be an Ishmaelite, a slave trader. The enemy will haul you out of there and make it, and it'll get worse. He'll haul you out of that pit and sell you into slavery. You'd be in there bound in chain with a bunch of slaves. I thought I had a special coat. They done tore the coat off of him, smothered it in blood, and took it back home and told everybody back home, he's done. He's dead. Don't you ever let the enemy, honey, tell somebody you're dead and you're done. I don't care if you're living without the Father's presence. And God said you was going that way to the heavens and you end up heading toward Egypt. That's funny. God said, Joseph, you're going that way. Now, you're going to get there this way. Killing your dreams. It's what the old nature do at the stage where you're serving for brides and flocks. He'll want to kill your dreams. Your own church will turn on you. Your own brethren. He went down. His father said, go down and find them boys and bring them a message. And he went. You ever went somewhere to bring people a message God told you and they end up killing you? You're well on your way. Everybody that has ever set out to serve God with a vision and a dream has met sore disappointment soon. The way to the palace comes through a pit. It comes through Potiphar's house. It comes through a prison. You go down and down and down and down till finally it's time to go up. Ooh, convicted rapist. That's fun. You better be ready to lose your reputation. Convicted rapist! And nobody ever struck it from the record. Pharaoh just said, this man interpret my dream. Put him at the top. Potiphar's wife was still out there with her lies and with her posse and her little gaggle of society girls. They still talked about him. She feared him now, so she had to probably tell worse lies. Y'all better be ready, honey. He was numbered with the transgressors. God made him of no reputation. They killed him like a common criminal. If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for us. That just blew me away. That old nature under Jacob tried to kill the dreams of Joseph. Well, that old man's going to come after us on every... Here's the last one. Joseph, that great suffering saint who's finally promoted and exalted to glory. He gave birth to two boys, Manasseh and Ephraim. And when it come time to give them their allotment in the land of the Lord, Manasseh didn't want to live on the right side of Jordan. He wanted to live on the wilderness side. He didn't want to go down through that liquid grave, the Jordan River, the death, burial, and resurrection. Don't make me start another sermon now. Jordan means the descender. The Dead Sea, some of y'all have been there, the lowest spot on planet Earth. But the Jordan's what takes you there. Can I say something? Y'all holler amen, it'll be over within 20 seconds. The Jordan River is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. I mean, that's where Jesus himself stepped into it to portray the very aforementioned. The Jordan River is one big picture of the cross. It begins on Mount Hermon, 10,000 foot, the tallest mountain in northern. And that in the Holy Land, it's in northern Israel, and said, it's so high in the heavenlies it catches the clouds. Catches the clouds. Remains ice, snow-capped year-round. The moisture it gathers from the heavenlies. Y'all ain't helping me. The moisture it gathers from the heavens. Then, through three tributaries, three of them coming off that heavenly mountain.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Three become one at the bottom of the mountain. Three become one after they come out of the heaven. Brother Waters, three become one. And what started in the heavenlies ends up in the dead. See, the lowest spot. I'm going to say that y'all got to help me. He left the highest spot in heaven to go to the lowest spot in hell. He left the heavenlies to go to death, hell, and the grave. Came off that three in the one. And I think it's 26 waterfalls. I forget how many thousands of feet she drops in sea level. And it's called the Descender. And you've been preaching John the Baptist. And his ministry was his ministry is at the Jordan. And even the great suffering Saint Joseph gave birth to a nature that didn't want the cross. And don't you feel bad, sweet suffering saint? I need to rephrase it better. Don't feel like you're the only one. You're going to feel bad about it. Let's get it said right. Don't feel like you're the only one. You've been all that time with the Lord. You're in the seventh perfection stage and suffering for Him. Prophecy and power on your life, and you still got a part of your nature that don't want the cross. It just wants to settle in the wilderness and do nothing, sit there and eat manna. Even in our suffering! At that final stage, the old man said, I don't want the cross. Just leave me alone. Let me live on there. I don't want to fight giants. I don't want to be on the resurrection side. Just let me rest back here and sit in this wilderness. Isn't that amazing? The old man's going to fight us all the way home. What's the good news? The good news is, He's the one that arranges to be that way.
That's right.
Yeah. They keep you humble all the way home. You understand? I'm trying to close now. Brother Waters, get over here, please, sir. He's an old friend of mine. I talk ugly to all my old friends. Get over there. He's a dear pastor in Asheboro, North Carolina. I've been knowing him a lot of years, originally out of Arkansas. Listen. Look at me. God's the one that knew that we'd fight the old man all the way home. You know what he's doing? He's doing for us what he did for Paul when he left that thorn in his. He's saving him from his pride. That weak flesh. Paul said, take it from me. Paul said, you get proud. If I didn't keep you broken, you'd be proud. If I didn't keep you bleeding, you'd be proud. You'd get exalted in pride, I'd have to treat you like Satan. So he lets us struggle. All the way home. He let you be a soldier all the way home. I hope that helps somebody. I'll be honest, I grew up, a lot of men wouldn't admit that stuff, wouldn't talk about it. And act like within 6 months of being saved, quit smoking, quit cussing, and get it all figured out and be perfect from here on in. Quite a lot of frustration. A lot of failure. A lot of people quit because they thought they failed God. Well, guess what? They did. But so did everybody else. And he done studied that failure business back there at Calvary. Oh, I'm about to run! Tell you what he done with my sin. He got him a tree. And he got his knife. And he carved some dates and some names in it. And some vows. That he had saved me. From my sin. That's why he said he's going to call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Woo! Oh my. I don't know what to do. This is too holy in here tonight. It's too heavenly. I ain't in a hurry. It could be 1 a.m. and I still wouldn't be in a hurry. Brother Waters, I want you to sing. I don't want you to just play altar call. I want you to sing for the Lord's people. Sing whatever God puts on your heart. Anybody else feel like getting down here and praying? We got a lot to thank Him for. Let's all stand. Make it easy. Come get saved if you're lost. Come get help if you're His.
Lord in heaven above, why'd you pick me to love? Why you love me, I just don't understand.